Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Hope Radio with Minister Kim and Lady Quarterback LaTanya, where your voice can be heard.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Quarterback Lady Rush is in the house today. Woohoo!
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, my God. I am feeling much better, and I'm so excited that we are here today together. Amen, together. You know, oftentimes it's either you or me, right? But guess who's missing today, man?
I know.
Exactly.
Our angel.
Yeah, our angel is missing.
No.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Radio Angel. Kim.
Shout out, Radio Angel.
Yeah, we miss you today. Yeah, but we're going to hold it down. Amen. We was in the green room, and you will be so proud of Lady Quarterback. She did her thing in the green room. Yes. So, who don't know, let me tell y'all something. Kim keeps us in order. Let me tell you what she means. So, yeah, she definitely does. So, yeah, what is right. So, we definitely miss you. Shout you out. We love you dearly. Enjoy your day off. I know you like, yes, Lord. So, again, we want to welcome you to Voices of Hope. Yes, we did change our name, making it short, because we want you to know that we are definitely here for you. We are both excited to be here for you, and I want to give you, Lady Quarterback, just some love right now. I know I love you all the time, but I believe that I should do it publicly. I want to thank you. I was out sick. I was hospitalized, actually, because I had some breathing issues, and Lady Quarterback just came in and just took the mic, and the shows were phenomenal. I was listening to the shows. Actually, we have one of our guests, a man that you interviewed. So I'm excited that she's coming back and I get to sit and enjoy it live today.
Right.
Amen. So I'm great. I'm excited about that. So we're going to have a great show today. I'm looking forward to the conversation with the Barnetts and for you to join us, because we are here to provide that space for you so your voice can be heard. So listen up. You know the number because you're on the switchboard. We thank you so much for supporting us, but we need you to press that favorite button that we all love, number one, because you're truly number one in our hearts today and forever. So we want to hear what's going on within you, what's going on in your community, and we definitely, if you need prayer, we're going to pray right here for you today. So, LaTanya, let's know what's going on. On this week's broadcast, you will be meeting some awesome people. They are the Barnetts, who are a powerhouse. These two will inspire, cultivate, motivate you as they share their partnership, parenting, and purpose in doing what they do for their family, marriage, children. Donald F. Barnett III is the founder of Don's Real Talk, and Tanya Bennett, who we had here, is the founder of Real Wife Movement, and she really is a wife, and she got this movement going on. She's also an author of an awesome book that LaTanya got an opportunity to interview her about just a couple of weeks ago. I say a couple of weeks ago because exactly it was truly like a couple of weeks ago. Being a Wife Just Got Real, and that is definitely a book that you need not to just put on your bookshelf, but read it. Carry it with you because you need a man. Besides a Bible, you need her book, Being a Wife Just Got Real. Whether you are married, about to get married, you know, acting like you're a married woman, you know how we do that. So you need to get it so you can make your relationship better. Amen. So we're excited that they're going to be here today. So I am ready to have some fun with you. LaTanya, you ready to have some fun?
Yep, I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's hit it. All right. Now, y'all know my girl is out today, but I got a song for us. Hope you enjoy it by James Fortune. We'll be back.
Hey.
seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day. Nothing good has come your way for so long. You need someone to understand, this place your heart is in. You just want to dream again.
Remember what you prayed for.
Yes.
Don't give up. So no matter what you're going through right now,
lemonade. It has this cold and icy, sweet and bitter days. But when you mix it all together, you got a picture of nice, sweet lemonade. And that's how sometimes you got to look at marriage. You can't just throw in the towel so easy. Just like when you're preparing that lemonade, sometimes you didn't put enough of the lemon content in it. Maybe you didn't put enough sugar in it. You got to find out what is missing, amen, in that relationship that you could just add to make it better, to make it sweet. And, woo, I feel so good today. Well, I'm back, and I just had to add that in. I just want to give y'all some hope today. This is what we do each Saturday, so don't forget to tune in every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio with Voices of Hope. It's either me, Minister Kim, or Lady Quarterback right here in the house. But sometimes you get a special treat to get both of us. So I'm excited again to have the Barnetts here with us today. Let me just read a little bit about his bio. Donald F. Barnett III is the founder of Don's Real Talk. Through Don's Real Talk, Don uses comedy to speak his truth about marriage, parenting, family, and friends, employment, and most importantly, being a black man in the 21st century. Don's goal is to assist men as they navigate through life's many challenges, especially those who are 40-plus. How many know some people who are 40-plus? Now, Tanya, I know she's been here. Tanya Barnett is the real wife coach, as well as a relationship and empowerment speaker. She is the author of Being a Wife Just Got Real, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Do. She founded the Real Wife Movement, where she equips single and married women with tools to create healthy relationships, marriages, and family. Without further ado, we have the Barnett with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know what? I told y'all. Good morning. See, that's why we need Radio Angel in the house. Radio Angel, I miss you. You got to know what hat you wear. I don't wear the hat of the switch.
Look,
I really don't.
I'm trying.
Stay
in your lane. Exactly.
Right.
Stay in your lane. Play your position and play it well. That's it. Don't try to do no extra. Don't cross over.
Right. So we got to have a meeting. You can't go on vacation. Welcome. I'm sorry about that, Tanya and Don. I'm so sorry. But welcome. Welcome again. Let's do that again. That's what I love about, you know, this is real talk, right? This is real reality radio.
Right.
So, hey, this is what happens when the executive producer is away, but we're going to make it rock. We're going to make it work this morning. Well, let's say welcome again. We want to thank you so much for being here, the Barnetts at the Voices of Hope Radio. I'm excited to have you guys on as our powerful couple as we talk about the power of love. I read a little bit about your bio, and I always believe that men come first. Amen. That's all. So can I call you Don, or you want Donald?
Sure, Don is fine.
Don, okay. I read about your bio, and it was really impressive, and you have a lot that you do. But today we're talking about the power of love and being married to your wonderful wife for 17 years, going on 18 this year, so congratulations. And we understand that marriage is not always peaches and cream, right?
Correct.
Marriage is not always peaches and cream, but let's talk about, and I'm saying this because a lot of times women believe that they are the ones that catch the man, right, that they have to pursue the man, and we hear in the Bible that it's the man that findeth a good thing. So, Donna, I'm going to put you on the spot. How did you know, like, Tanya was the one, the queen, the rib? How did you know? Like, did it take years? Did it take that first look? Like, how did you know that she was your rib?
Well, initially, it didn't take the first time. Just because, you know, I'm, you know, a single man living in the D.C. metropolitan area, you know, you come across a lot of women. And when I initially met my wife, it was at a doctor's office. She was working that day. And, you know, being a man, I was just in there. I was being fresh, you know, making little comments to her and everything. But, and then, you know, we ended up kind of dating for a month or so. And then, you know, things kind of fell off. And then we kind of got it back together again maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months later. And then, you know, we just started having these talks. And even then, you know, she was telling me, God had said you were going to be my husband. And I was like, well, the Lord didn't tell me that. So I don't know what you're talking about. You know? So, you know, we just kept dating. And then, you know, I just kind of felt this genuine sense like, yo, like, she really cares about me. She really loves me. This whole concept that a woman could just love me was kind of foreign to me initially. And then, you know, I was very guarded. And then once I just let my guard down and just kind of, how you say, let her in, things kind of took off from there, you know?
Wow. That's powerful.
Wow.
And
it is very powerful.
That's very powerful. And I appreciate the fact that you said it didn't take the first time. Like, you know, we have this impression that it takes, you know, it's that first time and it's supposed to be, you know, angels and harps and you know, the moon, I mean, the sun start beaming and the moon smiling and all of that. But you were like, no, it didn't take the first time. So, which lets us know that, I mean, we know that everything is a process, even that. You know what I mean? And you said something about, you know, until you let your guards down, you know, it was still on you to be able to control the whole connection and interaction. So I just want to say that I really appreciate you being transparent with that. I really kind of, I know
that's the only way I can be.
Hey.
I mean, she done put all my business in a book, so ain't no sense in hiding nothing now, right?
I know, right?
Chapter 2.
We're going to talk about that because I interviewed her on that one,
Yeah, because I'm concerned about two things. Latanya, when you talked about the spaghetti, yeah, is that right? Latanya, about the spaghetti.
Yes.
Yeah, I was in the background saying, well, I like it both ways, so can we just come to an agreement? Because sometimes I like it when you separate it, and sometimes being real, because I'm transparent, if I don't have enough meat sauce, I put it together so I can stretch it. So, but I like it. It's amazing how something, maybe culture, something that your upbringing does can affect when you come together as one, you know, those little things, you know. My thing was the toilet seat one night. I was like, oh, you left the toilet seat up. Oh, I was going to kill me. But, yeah, that was one of my pet peeves. And, you know, he was single, and I was single for a while. But I'm like, honey, we can't leave the toilet seat up, especially in the middle of the night. Like, because you go in the middle of the night, you don't cut on the light. You just go. I was upset. I was, like, pissed off with Sam. Yes, I was.
Right,
That caused a whole, like, maybe a 30-minute argument. And he couldn't relate why I was so angry. Like, come on. So, yeah, I understand those things. And then the other thing is that I'm still, and y'all got to help me with this, okay? That's why y'all here today, the Barnetts.
okay.
You said that they, quarterback, you said that they, you know, somebody put it on your post. I need to know the correct answer. Who's supposed to eat first? Because I'm always feeding the kids first. I'm sorry. I'm like, come on, kids, let's eat. Because I figure, let me just get them out of the way. Then I can fix hubby a nice plate, and he can just sit and chill and relax. You know, if we're not eating all together as a family, because we're always doing our thing. But that's just my concept. So I want to make sure that I'm treating him as a king, and he doesn't feel like I'm giving him the leftovers after everybody had dunked in his plate.
But if you think about it, and I'm going to let the Barnetts answer this question because they are experts on the show today. But if you think about it, what you said you didn't want to do, you just did. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, and then I wanted to give a little background for our listeners and our family that probably really don't know what we're talking about. A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Tanya Barnett on her book, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Say I Do. And it's a book about the things she wished she had known before she had gotten married to her husband. And the book is very transparent. I'm going to encourage you all to get the book. Very transparent, and she talks about her challenges of I'm going to sum it up on how I got it. Her challenges in becoming one with her husband and how there was difference, how the small things, like even how to make spaghetti was like. So I made the spaghetti this way because this is how I've always made it. And then the other was like, no, spaghetti is supposed to be made. So it's like the smallest little things that can cause a rift in your relationship because of how, you know, you do it and how, you know, they do it. She talks about that in her book, how she noticed in her relationship how it's just those small things that, you know, you have to be mindful of when it comes to joining or becoming one with someone. So I wanted to give a little background for our family because I know we're talking. They're probably like, what, spaghetti, toilet seat? I'm confused. To just put a little commercial in the show and kind of give you an update on what we were talking about and where this conversation come from. So, yeah, we want to ask the question, in the family, who gets fed first? And, yeah, who gets fed first? I'm not going to say why it's important because it could be important for different reasons, but Minister Kim says she feeds the children first. So,
right.
Barnett, you're on the spot.
This is what I would say. As your family changes, things change, and you have to be flexible. And also where your heart is. So when we initially got married, my heart, I was a single mom when I met my husband. So everything to me was kids first.
Absolutely.
And so when we went places, we would see people making a plate or whatever, and I was like, okay, you better get your plate, you know. And so, but that's where I was at that time. Once God started to work with me, then I would ask my husband, babe, do you want me to make your plate?
And now a lot of things like, no, go ahead and fix the kids plate. And I would say for each relationship, have that conversation. It evolved to that, and then it got to the point where my husband was making the kids plate first. And then it was easier for us to let them go ahead and eat so we can then sit down and chill and enjoy a meal without having to get up, you know, get up, somebody wants some more and all this other stuff. So I'm cautious about saying you have to fix this plate, because as your family grows, as your family changes, as children leave, you know, children come back or whatever, the dynamic change, and it all starts with a conversation. And I think that's where we miss it, is having the conversation. This is something to ask. Would you like for me to make your plate? You know, and he may say, no, it's no big deal. Go ahead and make yours first.
Right, but you still gave him the option first. You hear that, Minister Kim?
Okay, lady quarterback, I got it. I got it. No, she keeps throwing that in. You still. He doesn't get seconds, Kim. He gets first choice.
First.
I got it. Oh, my goodness. But how about, okay, look. I'm helping somebody today, okay? I'm helping somebody because we got the experts on here. I'm helping somebody. So how about if you do ask those questions, right? And you do fix the plate. But he's so in the room watching TV, doing whatever he wants. You're like, babe, I fixed your plate already. Your plate's on the table, babe. You're like, I'm coming. And like 5-10 minutes later, you're like, babe, your plate's going to get cold. You're like, see, that's why I want to fix your plate in the beginning anyway, because you don't come and eat when you're supposed to. And the kids is like, I'm hungry. When am I going to eat?
See?
Like, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, Mr. Don, this is you. You're up. You up to the play.
How
do you handle that situation?
So what do you do now?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you know your husband has a pattern of kind of just letting the food sit there and he'll get to it when he gets to it, it's okay. That's not a that's not a deal breaker. That's nothing, you know, you should make a big deal, because at the end of the day, that's his food. If it's cold, then he got heated back up. So then once you sat his plate out there, then you just continue to proceed to feed the kids, and he'll get to it when he gets to it. Because my wife knows she could fix something. She'll be like, babe, dinner's done. You ready to eat? And you know, let them cowboys be on. I'm like, I'll be up there in a minute. And, you know, a minute turned to 30 minutes to an hour. But, you know, I just got to heat the food up again. It's okay.
And telling the truth.
So that's the answer, everybody.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. You did your part. You did your part. So
yeah, I mean,
because
now it's to the point where my wife, if she knows the game is on, she won't even fix the plate. She'll just tell me dinner's ready, and then I'll know, like, at halftime or I get a break.
Right.
I just come, throw something on the plate, and run back down in the
back.
Too easy. It's too easy. We make things complicated.
You know, I hear that all the time. I hear that all the time from, you know, especially from men, that, you know, women make things too complicated. It's easy. Just say the food is ready and go somewhere and sit down. I'll get it. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. So lesson number one from today's call, everyone, is don't make things complicated. Don't make things complicated.
But,
all right, let me see, Karen, you got
me.
There she goes. There she goes. She done said, but.
Yeah, I have to, because I got to help people out here today, because, you know, like tip number one, you know, jewel number one, the light comes on. Don't make things complicated. But we as women, like, let me ask the coach. Coach, Tanya, why do you think women, us as women, why do we make things complicated? Why it has to be all of that and more? And like, you know, Latanya just said, some men are saying, it don't take all that. I just keep it simple. And men are. They simplicity. They like, but we got to be extra. Why we do that? Help us out today.
Well, I think a lot of it is culture. I work in a middle school, so I see all the middle school girl drama. even my son, our son who's 14, he's like, girls just have so much drama. Guys don't get off and stuff like that. So I think it's cultural. And so then we bring that into our relationship with our husband, and we continue that behavior. And it had to be several, in our marriage, it took several years of my husband just saying, you know, and not so nice words, like, can you just go sit down somewhere, please?
Mm-hmm, go sit down
and
somewhere.
And so, you know, but it took me, and number one, I had to make a conscious choice. Do I continue this way, which is angering him? Do I make some changes about myself, and why am I doing this? And so once I started doing all that, I don't trip off of stuff anymore. Because, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm 40-something. At this point, life is, it's not that heavy. Nothing in life is that heavy. And so when we need to have a conversation, I'll shoot him a text. I'll be like, babe, can we talk? And then that gives him time to prep. And sometimes he'll say, when he gets home from work, he'll be like, I'm not in the mood to talk right now. And I give him that space. In the past, I didn't do that. And then it would blow up, and, you know, we wouldn't talk for like a week or so. But now, you know, I understand to respect that space. And the same thing, vice versa with us. You know, with me, if something's bothering me and he'll be like, babe, what's wrong? I'll be like, I don't want to talk about it right now. And then he gives me that space. But that takes maturity. And a lot of times as women, we're not mature in that area. We want to fix it. We want to fix it now. We want you to do what I want you to do. We do it with the children. We do it with our husbands. And I'm so, I have been so guilty of treating my husband like he was one of the kids. And he would tell me, I'm not one of the kids. I'm not one of the kids.
I think adding to that from the coach I got is listening. Listening not only verbally but nonverbal to your mate. Then you'll know. You know, like he was like, I'm not one of the kids. Like, babe, it doesn't take all that. Like, chill. You know, it's important that we hear those messages because it will ease our job, honestly, lady. Think about it. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
When he say hands off, leave it alone. Go sit down
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm just making these notes to make my marriage better. I'm not going to make it complicated, and I'm going to listen.
It would save you so much drama. I'm serious. I mean, for 15 years, I did not listen. And it was just, it was crazy. And I didn't realize that I was contributing to the craziness. I thought it was all him. But once I realized it was me causing the craziness, and I stopped, and I'm not going to say, okay, I woke up one morning and you know, angels from heaven fell on me and I was a different woman. It took time. It took trial and error. It took, okay, and you hear that still small voice that says, leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone, and then you have a choice to make. And numerous times I heard, leave it alone, and I kept going.
You kept going. Yeah, because your actions were justified. Help us define, because you are like, a lot of times we don't listen. And, you know, I'm a word person because I need to understand, like, so that I can, you know, just kind of be on the same accord. You may say, you know, a lot of times we need to listen. Well, I do listen. So help us define, describe what that is. Describe what listen is. When you say that,
I would definitely say in a marriage relationship or even with your children or whoever, listening is turning your brain off or your need to respond off, and to actually digest what the person is saying.
That's good.
Because what they could be saying and what you hear are two different things. And so, you know, we're always ready to give a response to everything. I mean, I see that in my children. And we're like, yo, we don't need a response. Just listen to what we're saying, and you already got a response. You don't even know what I'm going to say. And so, you know, definitely listening is turning off your response and just digesting what they're saying. And one of the ways, the tools that I did that to get my husband to listen to me and hear my heart was I would write him letters. Sometimes it would be an 8-page, 6-page letter, and I would put it in his car because he left at like 5 in the morning. So it would be on his dashboard when he left to go to work, and I would say, don't respond. I just need you to read this. And then, therefore, it takes all the emotion out of it. It takes that back and forth. And he was able to read what I had to say. and then we were able to dialogue about it later.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good
definitely.
Idea.
Mm-hmm.
Good mm-hmm. idea.
Awesome idea. Some of us need to start writing some letters and leaving them
mm-hmm.
in the dashboard. Amen. Let
right,
a ponder
right.
over it
mm-hmm.
while he at work. Give y'all some space.
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and we come back. We want to talk about a survey that we had asked you guys to take, and we thank you that you responded. So let's talk about this survey that was taken when we come back on Voices of Hope, meeting the Barnetts right here. When we come back, let's find out what their love language is. We'll be back.
For a number of years, the Negro passengers on the city bus lines of Montgomery have been humiliated, intimidated, and faced threats on this bus line. Just the other day, one of the fine citizens of our community, Mrs. Rosa Parks, was arrested because she refused to give up her seat for a white passenger. Mrs. Rosa Parks was arrested, taken down to jail, taken from the bus, just because she refused to give up her seat. At present, we are in the midst of a protest, the Negro citizens of Montgomery, representing some 44% of the population. 90% at least of the regular Negro bus passengers are staying off the buses, and we plan to continue until something is done.
Because of Rosa.
An olive has to go through three stages for its oil to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you've gone through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming.
If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit.
I feel a shaking in the spirit this morning as we have the Barnetts here. Amen. Powerful, anointed couple who are sharing so much with us, so much powerful information to help save us from our own self-destruction, to be better at what God has given us. Amen. There's a shaking, amen, in your home going on today. There's a shaking in your heart today. Your mind is being transformed, amen, because God has set this powerful couple here, the Barnetts, to help us. So I'm grateful for you guys being here, Don and Tanya. I'm so grateful, amen, to just have the opportunity to just hear what God has given you through your marriage, amen. Experience is the best teacher, and I believe God is definitely in the midst of you guys. So Lady Quarterback has some questions for you, Don, so we're going to get into those questions right now. Lady Quarterback, you ready?
You're like, okay, okay. No,
I'm ready.
I know, right? We heard from Tanya, and she kind of gave us an example of one of the things that she noticed in, you know, her relationship at the beginning, relationships with you, and that was the listening part. I do want to put out a disclaimer for all of our listeners, is that you have to be mindful, is that what worked for them may not work for you. However, mm-hmm. find what works for you in your relationships, because you know, a lot of times I think we try to be like people when that's not how we're supposed to be, but we're listening that what I'm gathering from this couple, this particular couple here on the show, is that everybody has challenges. Like, you're not the only one that has challenges. You're not the only one dealing with anything, but find what works for you if this is something that you want to work in your life. So, you know, the suggestion that Tanya gave may be great. You might want to try it. You might want to try something else, or it may have triggered you to incorporate something that you haven't incorporated to make your relationship better. So I want to put that disclaimer out before I ask this question for Don. Tanya mentioned that when I asked her to describe what listening was and what it meant for her, you know, we all have the whole concept, quote unquote, of what listening is. And her response was turning off your response brain. Well, what I wrote was turning off your response, your brain, and your opinions as you're listening to your partner and really pay attention to what they're doing. What I've learned from being a life coach is that we listen to respond. We don't listen to just take in what the person is saying. We really listen so that we can give a response. And that's one of the things that I have been trying to be mindful of. It depends on the conversation and topic, of course, but I try to be mindful of just like to not respond and to just really take in what the person is saying. When she said that she figured that out about herself and her relationship with you and she decided to take a different route, I just want to hear from you on the whole listening part. When you was, you know, talking to your wife and, you know, that whole thing and kind of figuring this thing is out, I want to just hear from you. What does the listening mean to you, and how did you receive or what did you think about her when she gave her her change, like her response, like writing the letters? What was your initial reaction?
For me, listening starts with listening without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to accept what the person is saying and hearing what they're saying, and then also knowing the role that you may have played in what they're saying.
That's good.
So, you know, you have to be mature enough to, one, do all that, roll it up into one, and then also, two, you have to be able to look at yourself and understand all that and not take it personal. And then you have to be able to come to the table with a clear mind and open heart and ready to communicate or to have a dialogue about what was said without responding to it emotionally. And being clear and concise in what you're saying. And if you don't understand what the other person is saying, because we talked about it before, sometimes you can interpret something. If you're not clear on what was said, say, okay, now this is what I'm thinking. Is that what you meant, or did you mean something else? There's no shame in doing that.
Exactly.
As opposed to running off and just making an assumption. You know, the person is right in front of you, or if they're not, hey, is this what you meant, or were you thinking, or just give them a chance to respond and let them tell you what they meant so it can be clear.
That's good.
Yeah, that's definitely good. Listen
that's
without
good.
Judgment.
I know, right? Number one.
So
how did you react when you got in your car and you found this 8-page letter and you had to read it and couldn't respond right away?
Well,
what
when
was
it,
your
when
initial?
First, when it first started, I was just like, what in the world is this? So, you know, okay, I get to my office and I read it. And initially, when I first started getting the letters, I was just like, man, you could have told me this before I left the house. You know, that's that whole thing of not respecting how the person is communicating when you say, this, you could have told me this.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to learn and understand this was the best way for her to communicate her feelings to me. So now I got to find a way within myself to be receptive of that and accept the fact, like, okay, this is how she's communicating. So now I'm taking in everything that she's written down on that piece of paper, and I'm thinking about it all through my day. And then, you know, initially at times I'd be like, oh, man, that's not true. But see, that's me being in my feelings, giving her an emotional response. And see, had she told me that instead of writing it in the letter, then that's what she would have gotten initially.
She would have gotten
emotional response.
Yes, right, right.
Mm-hmm. But by her giving me the letter and me having my emotional response to myself, now I can I can have my moment, get over it, and then when I come to the table, I can be a little more composed, a little more thoughtful in my answers and my responses to what she was saying.
Nice.
Without all the
All the testosterone.
Right, right, right. Because you know, you know, men, boy, we're quick to leave with that testosterone first. Hey, what do you mean? I was, you know. So, I have definitely developed some maturity in our relationship. Some maturity that I didn't even think that I had myself, because I don't know if you've ever read my wife. If you've read my wife's book, you'll know my wife had an emotional affair, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the course of finding all that out, to just make a long story short, you know, I could have taken the route of, I can't believe you, this and you and you and you, and pointing the finger at her, and how could you? I go to work every day, I hold this down, and I do everything so you don't have to. But I had to step back and like, okay, Don, what was your role in this? What are you not doing that caused this? You know, that takes great maturity. A lot of men, let's be 100, are not going to do that. A lot of men are not going to say, what was my role in this? They're just going to see the fact that their wife was talking to some dude. They're not going to say, like, well, what did I cause? What did I do to cause this to happen?
Absolutely.
You know, so so you know, I had to take ownership for my actions in that. You know, I had to listen.
And you also have to evaluate how important the relationship is to you for you to do that. You know,
exactly.
What's the priority? You know what I mean? And that's some really, really good stuff. Really good. Well, Minister Kim mentioned that we gave the Barnetts the survey of the five love languages. And if you're not familiar with the five love languages, it's a book by Gary Chapman. And he wrote a book about five distinctful love languages that people have. And this is how they, how can I put it? This is how they receive or how they look at the reception of love. And the five ways are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So what you do is I actually have a book. I actually did a workshop on the five love languages, which was really interesting because the way that I did it was the five love languages that we have and how we relate our five love languages in our relationship with God. And how we expect him to show, quote unquote, his love for us could be any one of these, five. Well, he has it for children, for men, for relationships, for couples. So we gave them the survey for couples, the five love languages, and it's like 30 questions that you answer. And you can go online and you can do this for yourself. I actually did it for me, so it was really interesting. Did this a couple of years ago, and my love languages hasn't changed, so that's kind of good, I guess. Well, we gave them to the Barnetts, and they did the survey. So we're going to ask them the results of the survey. And first I want to know, have you guys ever taken the five love languages survey before?
I think we did something similar to this at church. Exactly this particular survey, but
this
we did something similar to that.
Okay. And Don, have you ever done the five love languages survey?
To piggyback off of what my wife said, we did something similar to this at church, but not exactly like this.
Not this one. Okay. So were you surprised at the results after doing this one?
I was very surprised because we both mirrored each other, actually, and I even showed it to my husband in each one of Soul Win words of affirmation. We had the same, we were right within each other by number or two.
Wow.
Plus or minus one. So for each one of those, we mirrored each other. I was totally shocked. I know for me, mine is acts of service, and I just knew my husband was going to be physical touch. But by the time he went through and I did mine, we both were acts of service.
Wow.
So that was shocking to me. I was not expecting that. I don't even know what to do with that. I'm like, okay, that's weird, you know, because we always thought we were opposites in everything because we're just from two different backgrounds. But to have the same acts of service was really, I was really tripping off of that.
Hence the 17 years of marriage. See how that works? And I'm going to ask, because I see that we have a hand up, but before we get to our caller, Don, were you surprised? What was your response when you found the results, found out your results, and then when you found your wife's results? Were you shocked?
Well, yeah, I was surprised because I just knew mine was going to be, like, touchy-feely, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and when
mm-hmm.
she said it was acts of service, I was like, oh, wow. Okay, so then I had to think about that thing for a minute. I was like, wow, well, yeah, I do, yeah. I
mm-hmm.
guess I could see it. Like, you know, when you do a replay of all the things I, you know, my wife does and that I like,
mm-hmm.
and I was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, yeah, okay,
mm-hmm.
I could see that. But I just really knew it was either going to be the whole touchy-feely kind of thing
mm-hmm.
or gifts. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, like, when I'm answering the questions, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, I'm going to look so materialistic.
He did say that, too.
Right. I like gifts, and give me
gifts. Right, gifts.
Well, that's
yes.
really interesting because the way the book is set up and how Dr. Chapman broke it down is once you understand what your love language is, and you'll be able to kind of let the person know, this is how I receive it. This is how I
uh-huh,
understand
uh-huh.
X, Y, Z. And once you understand for your mate, your partner, your husband, your wife, then you'll know, okay, I have this in front of me. She would receive it better if I did it this way. And that goes back to the whole listening thing and the whole listening that you both kind of gave me the descriptions of, like, not making it about you, but making it about the individual when you're communicating. Because it's all a part of communicating. It's all a part of that whole, that communication piece, excuse me, in your marriage and in your relationship entails all these different facets. It's not just vocal. It's not just, you know, it's about listening. It's about understanding how they receive things and, you know, all these definitions, like Don said, respect how the person communicates and all these different things. Don't take it personal, get clarity, blah, blah, blah. That's that whole communication component. And I don't think there's enough teaching or examples on in our community.
Right.
When it relates, especially to our culture.
Right. And Don and I just finished a 30-day acts of service challenge. We started in January. And so I actually wrote a blog post about it, how it was easier for him to do his acts of service for me. And what it was you were supposed to do something for your spouse every day for 30 days without wanting anything in return. So not wanting them to acknowledge it, or it was just, I'm giving to you because I love you. And the giving could be anything. It could be, you know, washing the clothes or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was. And believe it or not, it was easier for him. I struggled with it.
Wow.
Which was really surprising for me.
Oh.
And I even blogged about it, that I didn't even finish the 30. I didn't even finish the 30 days.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really a struggle for me because I'm just like, well, what do I? And it showed you a lot about yourself. And I learned
mm-hmm.
through that 30-day process that I'm selfish. And it showed me that about myself. And so I would challenge anyone to do 30 days acts of service without wanting anything in return and just giving to that person, whether it's to your children, to your spouse, whoever, you know.
Whoever.
Right, your neighbors, you know, if you're a nasty neighbor, try to be nice for 30 days or something. And you'll really learn a lot about yourself. It really makes you think and self-reflect on yourself and on your behaviors and why you do what you do.
That's interesting. And Minister Kim, I know you got to say something. There's a book, and it escapes me, but I know it's a brown book, and I think it's called The Love Challenge. It was a movie.
Yeah, The Love Dare Challenge.
The Love Dare Challenge. I know it was a movie or something about it, and when you said the Acts of Service Challenge, it kind of triggered that, The Love Dare. I actually need to see that movie because I heard it was very powerful. You do learn more about yourself.
Right, exactly. And I think also, too, I know we talk about the power of love and, you know, Valentine's Day, Black History is a lot that goes in the month of February, but I think that we should always, always consciously be aware that we should show love through acts of services, whatever your love language is. Make it a conscious thing to do on a daily basis, like work towards it, because a lot of times people don't get love, whether they're married, you know, whether it's a child. You never know who's coming across your path. It could be that smile. It could be that hug just to say, you know, have a good day. So it's really important that we don't allow society to dictate to us when we're going to get flowers or when we're going to bring a box of candy home. I believe this is something that we should just dreamily do, because it does change the emotion that's going on within somebody. You know, you never know what somebody's day is like. Even a child, you know, your kids come home, you got a 14-year-old, I have a 12 here. You don't know what these children are dealing with, peer pressure. And maybe just coming home with something and leaving it on their bed, and they come home like, wow, thank you.
I know, right? Thank you.
I think it's something important. So I think we can definitely thank you so much, coach. Life coach, we definitely going to do this challenge. Amen. You're going to see it up, and we definitely going to give you some recognition because you gave it right here on Voices of Hope. I know we're talking about the challenge. We're talking about the love language. But when someone inboxes me or tries really hard to get my attention while I'm on the radio, again, I always tell people, you know, this is our disclaimer, our show is subject to change because we are operating by the Holy Spirit. There's a young lady, she had inboxed me, and initially I guess she asked a question on Blog Talk Radio, and I didn't see it, and she called and said, hey, did you see my message? And I said, no. So while y'all was talking, I went behind the scenes, and I asked her, she was like, no. But I could just feel in her spirit that something is just not well. So I'm going to put this question out there. I'm going to leave her anonymous now, but I want to put this out here because this is what we're here for. And it's when you're in prayer. Remember, we were in prayer, right? Right, the Barnett? We were in prayer, and we were praying. I was praying, and we came to agreement when we said amen. And I just believe that this is what God is doing. I know we passed the time that we would normally allow our guests to, you know, leave, because I know our guests always have something to do, especially on a Saturday, so we don't want to take up so much of your time, but we do want to respond to this question. And the young lady says, I believe that writing is a great way to communicate. It is an art we have gone away with from with lovers. To address conflict or pour out our hearts about a pertinent issue, what do you do if they refuse to read it or say your words are not important because they are just words? I believe all things are possible. What do you do if your mate only sees hopelessness at times? Dawn, Tanya, both of y'all, who wants to take this?
I would definitely say, because initially my husband did not receive a lot of the stuff that I was saying, and I just, this may sound so cliche, but I really just continue to pray and just ask God. And I would say, God, get him. And that's what I would say. I'm like, God, get him, because I'm not reaching him. Get him. And my husband would, you know, there would be little subtle things where he would go somewhere and someone would say something that would trigger something in him, not anything that I said, and he would come home and be like, you know what, I was talking to so-and-so, and this made me think about something that you said. And so a lot of times I think when we give those letters or we're giving the words, and I think Don has said this too, you know, step back and allow that person to process it. And if they can't receive it, it's nothing you can do about it. Only God can do it. It's not our job to change their heart. It's God's. God can take a heart of stone and turn to a heart of flesh. And so I would definitely just put that on an altar and say, okay, God, I need you to work in my husband in this area.
And put
continue,
it on there.
And continue to love them. And continue
exactly.
to love them.
Exactly.
Treat them differently. You know, and I had to do that. There were times where I would still fix his, you know, whatever, and leave it on. And I did not want to my face to be so stony, but I knew at the end of the day he would receive it how he received it. And so I just decided that I would always show my husband love regardless. And I would kiss him on his forehead, even if I was angry. I'd be like, you know, I'm going to kiss you anyway. And that's what I chose to do. Honey, you have a suggestion?
Well, just to keep writing the letters. Keep writing them.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you know, something will get in his heart that will be like, you know what, he'll just do it for spite. Let me just see what she's talking
mm-hmm.
about. And then in the course mm-hmm. of seeing what you're talking about, I believe that God will cause a switch in his heart. You know, just like you turn on a switch to turn on the light, I believe God can cause a switch in his heart that will make things different, because I am not the man that I used to be 10 years ago, 17 years ago, 20
Come on
years
now.
Ago. And if you ask me, would Donald F. Barnett III be at this point today, then I would tell you, no, man, that's crazy. But, you know, I see how God has worked in my life
mm-hmm.
and in my heart. And, you know, and it's just, you know, once you see a little bit of change happening, you know, just keep playing. Don't bash him like, yeah, it's about time. No. Just go in your little corner someplace and say, God, thank you, because I'm
mm-hmm.
starting to see the change. And, God, just keep working on it. I pray, just keep praying for your husband. Pray for your husband, because you know what? That's what we need as men. We don't need
mm-hmm.
a woman tearing us down. We need a woman praying for us constantly, praying without ceasing, you know, and just make some things happen. Just keep praying and keep praying. And you know what? Your prayers will break through, and then your husband's heart will change. But it's not going to change when you want it to change.
Right.
It's going to change when God wants it to change.
And that's the key. That's
right.
The key. One of the
times in the middle of the night, I would get oil in the middle of the night and rub it on him and pray. And he had no idea I was praying for him. He thought I was giving him a massage. And I would be praying for him.
Thank
exactly.
you for that tip.
Exactly. Well, we know the time is spent. Mr. Don, if you're available for about 10 more minutes, we would like for you to stay on. We have a couple of more questions that we want to ask. And
sure.
I know that you'll be a good representation for your family. Because Ms. Tanya has to leave, and we respect her
Thank
time.
You
we appreciate
for
you for
me.
Being on.
Okay.
If you can tell us very briefly where we can contact you, that will be perfect. And then we'll also post it on the page as well.
Okay, awesome. My website is realwifemovement.com. And on all social media platforms, I'm Real Wife Coach. I can you can email me at info@realwifemovement.com. You can inbox me. I have wives inbox me via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I do respond. I do pray with people. I've had people, you know, inbox me and say, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going through a hard spot. And I'll type a prayer right there in the Twitter inbox.
Uh-huh.
So definitely they can reach out to me, realwifemovement.com. And I have a blog on there as well where I share real things as they're happening in real time in my marriage, to show people you can overcome the challenges. And my parents are a great witness. They will tell you they did not think we would last 6 months in our marriage. And so my parents can testify that they have seen a change in the both of us.
Wow. Wow.
Awesome.
We thank you for your time, ma'am, and I know we'll have
thank
you on the show again as we evolve
yes.
this thing.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so honored.
Wonderful.
We
have
love you and appreciate
day.
You.
God
enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.
Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
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 Talk to you later.
Oh, how cute. I know, right?
I love it. Love, love, love. Love it. Well, we are going to continue with our show for about 5 or 10 more minutes because I want to hear from Mr. Don. We had his wife on the show, as Minister Kim said, a couple of weeks ago, talking about her book, and she gave her whole side of it. So I just wanted to give him an opportunity to kind of say how he felt about the book, how he felt about, you know, when she came to him with the fact, hey, I'm about to write this book about us, and it's going to include the good, bad, and the ugly. And then, like, what are some of the things that he learned, like, after the book was written, presented, and people read it. So just wanted to kind of give him an opportunity on the show to be transparent about his life that was written in somebody else's book.
All righty.
All right. Let's have at it.
That's all right. Exposing him. Minister Kim, do you have, do we need to go to commercial or something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take a commercial break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we want to hear Dawn's side of the story.
I know, right.
We'll be back on Voices of Hope, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show like we are today. Shout out to Reddy Angel. We love you and miss you so much.
I know. We miss you, Kim. All right.
All right. We'll be back.
I've had my share of times when I wanted to give in. Seems like the day never come, but I had to encourage me and find the strength to believe that
together we win. I'm truly, truly loving this show today.
Yes.
The Barnett has
yes,
truly a blessing,
yes.
Right, Lady Quarterback?
Absolutely.
Woo.
Absolutely. 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 Mm. It's just really interesting. My better half and I, we go to college together. And we walk around campus and people just like, you know, we'll have people walk up to us and be like, oh, you guys give us hope. And he's always like, what? What does that mean? Like, oh, you know, and we're
getting married after graduation, but, you know, the whole process up until that point, of course, is a process. But when people see us together, it's just like, mm-hmm. you're the epitome of black love. Like, oh, my God. And he's like, well, what is it? And I'm like, they see the genuineness. Not like we're perfect, because we're not. But they see the genuine connection that we have. And it's just really, really funny. So to listen to, you know, you and your wife and, you know, the challenges and stuff and, you know, just to hear, like, the genuineness kind of helps me to understand what other people see when they see me, you know, and my fiancé together. And it's just like, wow. So that's what they see. Like, what is just, you know, kicking each other out the house last night, and then today it's like people are like, oh, my God, you're so perfect together. And we're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So, Don, I wanted to ask you a question about your wife wrote the book, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Said I Say I Do, which I encourage people to get. It's a good, good book. And she mentioned, when I did the interview with her, she mentioned that she came to you to tell you that she was about to write this tell-all book about your relationship with her. What was your initial reaction?
Well, my initial reaction, you know, I was kind of like, huh? But then I was kind of like, well, okay, because I look at it like this. Once it gets out there, you know, that in regards to our marriage, if it can help somebody be better so you don't have to live through all the things that I went through, then you know what, then just have at it, you know. It was really hard for me to read the book initially, and I don't think I've read it from cover to cover exactly, just because, to be honest, I just, like, reading it for me was just, like, kind of like reliving it, you know, and I was just kind of, and I was just kind of like, wow, was that really me, you know? Because it's kind of like when, you know, when I look at that stuff and I'm just like, It's like someone says, this is your life. Just imagine someone putting a video screen in front of you and saying, ooh, do you remember when you did that? Do you remember when you did that? Oh, yeah, what about this over here? What about back in 2000? You know, you just, that's just not a movie you want to see yourself, but at the end of the day, if it can help someone, then you got to let it go. You got to let it go.
Wow, you know, that was really interesting. And that's, that's a reason why a lot of people don't go back, because they have to relive it, and they're not ready to relive it. Because it does take you back to that place. So after you came to the agreement that, okay, if it helps somebody, okay, fine. You know, go ahead and do it, or, okay, I'm okay with it. What was your response or your reaction after you heard how it did help people, the testimonies or the, you know what, I did that too, and thank you for helping me reveal that in myself, and all of those different feedbacks. Today, how does it, you know, make you feel?
Well, to be honest, it really makes me feel like, you know, God's will is being done. And I say that because it's like now people are raising the question. People are talking about, well, yeah, you know, me and my wife went through that. You know, some men are even opening up about the fact that, well, yeah, you know, my wife did the same thing. Because, you know, men, we don't like to talk about stuff like that. You know, we don't like to talk about, well, yeah, my wife. Because, you know, a lot of men deal with the same things, but they, how you say, I guess, suffer in silence or deal with it themselves, or God forbid they ever were to tell, like, their wife had, like, an emotional affair or even an affair, because no man wants to be on the other end of that, because usually in society it's usually the woman or the female or the wife who has to deal with those emotions around something regarding those topics. And then you see, like, a lot of women who ask me or talk to my wife, and they come straight out and say, oh, man, you know what, this book really blessed me, it helped me, it's encouraging me, it's letting me see another side of it, it's allowing me to see me. So when you see all of these things happening and you see people's lives changing, none of that would have happened if I would have just, no, you're not writing mm-hmm. anything. Don't mm-hmm. do it. And, you know, nobody's life would have been changed for the better if I would have taken that stance. You
wow.
see what I'm saying? My wife wrote a whole chapter about me, chapter 2, Donald Barnett. You know? So it's like, geez.
Now, you know, I'm going to have to just get the book just to read chapter 2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I guess in all that I say, you know, helping someone else get through something, man, if whatever I experienced in my life can help you get over what you're going through, then you know what? It's all worth it. It's kind of like that theory, like if you preach to like 1,000 people, but only
mm-hmm.
one person gets saved.
You've done
you know
your job.
Saying?
Yep.
You've
yep.
done your job.
Yep.
Yes.
You did your purpose. You did what you came to do. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Okay, and so we know that you have a lot going on. I mean, you both individually, like she has her thing, you have your thing. And I'm going to ask a question before I ask you to tell us a little bit about it. How do you make that work? How do you make, how does that work? Like, you know, she's traveling, she's doing a lot of things, you're doing your thing. How does that work as far as the Barnett?
Well, obviously, you know, time management is key and having a good calendar, you know,
uh-huh.
and having teenagers really helps because if we have to shoot to an event downtown that may be 2 or 3 hours, you know, my kids are 16 and 14 and I have great neighbors.
Okay.
So, you know,
okay.
that always helps. But also, too, you know, just being able to help her with what she's into and her helping me with what I'm into,
mm-hmm.
you know, to complement one another, you know, because
nice.
When I'm not doing something, then you know what, I can make her load a lot easier. Like, for example, we did the Black Love Experience last weekend. So, you know, I'm at the
oh.
event, I'm taking pictures, she's taking pictures. So, you know, we put all the pictures together, and, you know, she saw that I had a lot of footage that was better than her. So, you know, while she's writing, I'm uploading the pictures on WordPress for her and things of that nature just to kind of give her one less thing to do. She
mm-hmm.
knows that I mentor young men, so I'm at work. She's on the website getting the tickets for me for the African American Museum so I can take these young men
oh.
and some chaperones to the museum, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she's home. She has access to a computer, whereas,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't
mm-hmm.
do that from, like, my job.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
you know, we just kind of, it's like a balancing act, you know,
right.
where we just find ways to complement each other in whatever we're doing.
Nice. Okay, well, let's talk about Mr. Donald F. Barnett III.
Mm-hmm.
You're the founder of Bronze Real Talk, and you
mm-hmm.
just mentioned that you mentor young men, and you have a lot going on. So just give the, you know, let us know, you know, about you, about your foundation, about what you have going on so that we can be of support to you here on the Voices of Hope.
Okay, well, Don's Real Talk initially started with some blogs. And really, and my first blog was called Counseling Who Needs That. And basically I took, because Counseling Who Needs That is a title in a book that I'm writing, I'm working on right now, that'll be out this summer, sometime this summer of either this summer of 2017 or in the fall of 2017. But anyway, Counseling Who Needs That, it talks about men getting counseling, and I chronicle my whole experience of getting counseling, of how I didn't want to do it, and basically after I did do it, it was like, yeah, Counseling Who Needs That? Me. We all do
right.
as men.
Right.
Because a lot of times men, we don't want to talk about things. We just want to go from the approach of, I'm good. Or
mm-hmm.
or you know, you'll get that one, or you'll get some advice from the Peanut Gallery. The Peanut Gallery is those friends who really need counseling like you do, but none of them will admit it. So now
mm-hmm.
you guys are just sitting around someplace giving each other bad advice. So basically what I did was, you know, I went to counseling, you know, and it really helped me out a lot to, how you say, put the pieces together in this big puzzle of life, you know. Just to be able to talk about some things because, you know, I had mother issues and things of that nature of, you know, my mother not being in my life and then, you know, my father dying when I was like 18, 19 and just kind of really having to fend for myself at an early age and my mother not offering anything or ever really being in my life at all because my parents, I never knew them to be together. That's how long they were divorced, separated, or whatever you want to call it, and just trying to manage all that and, you know, these generational, what people would like to call generational curses of dating because your grandfather was this, your father was that, now this is that. But I don't like to look at them as generational curses. I like to refer to it as like a generational choice. You don't have to be a certain way because your father was that way or his father was that way. You've made a choice to be like that because someone has told you along the line, well, yeah, you get it honest. Your grandfather and your father were like that, so it's only. But no, I don't got to be like that. Because you know, I come from a lineage where men have dated like a lot of women, and there was no real stability and things of that nature. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I thought I was going to be like the best baby daddy in the world. You know, I never thought I was going to be a husband.
Right.
I just thought I was just going to be the world's best baby daddy. You know, like the woman never got to worry about getting money from me because I'm always going to be involved. But, you know, we ain't going to be married or nothing like that. So do you see how crazy that thinking is?
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And to see you now, like the total opposite.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you're still the best baby daddy, but... So that's a whole different term and meaning. Yes, and to see, but you know, that whole concept is very familiar. It's like very, that's what the concept is. Very common, very familiar. You know, these days, especially in 2017, it's just really interesting. But to see how all of that just like totally changed for you.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. Well, we have a question for you.
Sure.
One of our callers has a question, and I'm just going to read the question, and then you can just give, you know, whatever best opinion, advice, or whatever you want to give. It's from a female, and she said that she's dating a Christian man, so it's in reference to the church, which was that should have been another topic, Minister Kim. Religion,
yes,
and then we need to get y'all gotta come back. I know.
Yeah.
Belief and religion, that is a good one. That just popped up. Okay, she said she's dating a Christian man, and he's been a believer for about 3 years, go to church, but is not mentored by anyone in the spirit, which she put in capital letters. He's been studying his Bible, attending workshops with her, and said that he really wants to marry her. She said she's seeking God for guidance because she's a divorced mother of 5. He's never been married and has 6 children from before his transition. If they were considering a blended family, what material training and other resources would you suggest for men and women?
Well, the first thing I would suggest counseling for the both of them, but now I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, okay, but I would suggest counseling with a licensed clinical therapist, not anyone from the church.
Please say that again. Can you repeat that and be clear?
I would suggest counseling with a licensed clinical therapist, not anyone from the church.
Thank you.
And the reason why I say that
with it.
And the reason why I say that is because, you know, a lot of times at the church, and I'm not taking anything from the church, but someone, how you say, is a mailman by day, and the pastor anoints them to be a counselor at night. They can't help you with deep-rooted, seated issues because they don't have the training to do these things. So when you go to a licensed clinical therapist, he or she is going to put it out there for you. They're not going to make it deep. They're just going to make it simple and plain. Look, this is what I'm hearing you say. This is what I'm hearing you say. And until you get these things together, this is not going to work. You know, because a lot of times, you know, you will get with these, I guess, counselors or something at church. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me change my phone. My battery's running low.
Change the phone. Because he done said something.
Change the phone.
I promise.
Let me tell y'all. Wait a minute. While he's changing the phone, lady quarterback, Dawn, I hope you can hear this. Those who are listening in, I don't know what y'all started today. Wait. Hold on. Just a sidebar here. While you were changing the phone, while y'all have a conversation, we in three conversations. Facebook has gone viral because I don't know what. I got people answering. I put up here an hour ago, okay, who should eat first, the children or the husband? Honey, they are going in on Facebook. I have tagged your wife in this, so we definitely need your part two. You can see the attitudes coming out in their comments. Let's go back to your question. I'm glad you changed the phone. Because you're definitely helping us. Oh, my God. We had to have y'all back on. We're going to have a part two real soon. Now, seriously, we definitely going to call up your wife. Make sure y'all schedule is. We got to have y'all back on live because.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This,
okay,
that was good. Let's talk about the counseling.
Right. With a licensed clinical therapist, because they can really pull out the deep-rooted, seated issues. And just to be honest, they're not going to church it up. A lot of times, you know, you'll get in there, and they'll be like, but I believe that you can. And you know what? I'm a believer. I believe that too. But I do believe that God gives us licensed, trained therapists for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you're a chef by day, you know, I'm not going to expect you to come to my house and be the best painter, because you're not a painter. You're a chef. You may be able to kind of put a couple of lines on the wall and it look all right, but that's not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? So that's why I am an advocate of a licensed clinical therapist. Nothing against people who counsel at the church. So, you know, so people don't send me no emails But that, I mean, that's my stance. And then when you get into counseling, you got to go in there being prepared to hear some uncomfortable things. And then you also got to bear your truth, give your truth. If the fact that he has six kids bothers you, then you need to say that in counseling. If there's something that you do that bothers him, then he needs to be up front. A lot of times we get in front of a counselor and no one wants to, how you say, speak their piece. Me and my wife went to counseling at church like two times, with counseling at church, and it just didn't work for us. But when I got in there with like a licensed clinical therapist, and that was pulling some things out of me, I was like, okay, you know, because they're going to go into childhood and they're going to make sense of okay, but this is what happened in your childhood, and because this happened in your childhood, this is why you feel this way.
Exactly.
You see, they're gonna put all the pieces together and they're gonna connect the dots. And you know, and in some cases, people go to a licensed clinical therapist. You may need the medication for something. The church is not licensed to give you medication.
Mm-hmm.
You could say something that could be a danger to yourself or someone else. The church is not going to commit you. A licensed clinical therapist has the power and the authority to be like, you know what? You need help beyond this. You need to go to the psychiatric ward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's real talk.
That's real talk.
You know, so.
Don's real talk.
So,
yes. I like that. Don's real talk.
Yeah, so I'm just an advocate of counseling with licensed clinical therapist, and that's all. And then after that, once you deal with that, then you know you find you a coach who who, you know, you respect and has a good track record of success and things of that nature. Because a lot of times, especially men, we listen to the peanut gallery, like I indicated before, and then a lot of times women will listen to that one girlfriend. But listen, mm-hmm. your one girlfriend can't tell you nothing about your marriage, and she's constantly talking about her husband or her marriage is jacked up, but you looking to her to give you advice in your situation.
Say that again.
You see what I'm saying? She talking mm-hmm. about her husband, uh-huh. dogging her husband out, and you going to her for advice. She can't help you. She'll help you to uh-huh. get a divorce, but she
wow.
can't help you have no staying power.
Wow.
Wow. He got, you know what? Okay, so this is what
Please.
We need to do. Because, again,
Come
it's viral on,
on
Facebook, and I want to thank everybody for putting their comments up. But we're going to bring them back as a couple, but then we got to have you back for man talk, because,
yes.
honey,
yes.
you are, you
yes.
know, you're saying stuff to break change in the mindset of the people. You know,
mm-hmm.
you being transparent. Now, the brothers need
Absolutely.
To understand that it's so good to be real. When you first even talked about your wife wanting to write about you and how you just didn't want to deal with it, but you had to deal with it. I don't want to go back there, but we have to go back just to improve on where we need to go. And then second,
mm-hmm.
therapy is my thing as a social worker at heart. You know, it's so important to get therapy, to go to someone clinically, amen, skilled to help you, because you need that sounding board. You need someone that with confident that you can really help you to express yourself. And let me tell you, you need those meds, those psychotropic medications, get it. You don't have to always be on it. And if you do, hey, as long as it's going to make you better, be a better person.
Right.
So we definitely, all right, so we got two interviews coming back up in here. This is powerful.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You want to wrap? We got to wrap up, so we got 4 minutes. This is just, I'm so sorry, the guests. I know y'all going to be mad, but we promise you our word is bond here. We definitely going to get them back on. We put them on the spot. Don is on the spot now that he got to come back. So we want to just recap, and then we definitely want to give people opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. If we have time, so quarterback, can we just do some recapping right now for those who just probably tuned in late?
Oh, my goodness. Where do you want me to start? Well, first, we want to give Mr. Don an opportunity for him to let us know how we can get in contact with him. Does
yeah.
he have a Facebook page that, you know, he would, that, you know, because we want to always be supporters of our guests. So if you can just give out some brief information on
right.
how
I'm
to
on,
can do.
I'm for Instagram, Twitter, and all that. I'm on Don's Real Talk on all social media, and my email is donsrealtalk@gmail.com.
Wonderful. We appreciate you for your time. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for
having
your
me.
Nuggets, for being transparent.
Yeah.
I'm getting my questions ready now for the interview for later. So. So we just really, really appreciate you taking time out to join us this morning on the Voices of Hope Radio. And we just, you know, want you to have a blessed day. Continue to take care of your wife and family.
You too. Definitely.
And just be encouraged. Yes, be encouraged and have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. OMG. I know. I know you had quarterback. We went off the script totally today. You know we have
totally
segments
off the script,
here, but
it's all good
because guess
good.
What? We definitely want you to come back for part two. We got to have part two.
Absolutely.
Because the Barnetts, we told you in the beginning, right? Didn't we say that they were powerful anointed couple?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah.
I don't know
did.
If they believed it,
but we
or not,
think,
but we did.
Yeah, powerful. Yeah, we did. We let me tell you, we need to do this here. We never want to leave a broadcast without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth. Confession is made unto salvation. If you agree with that today, you are saved, born again. We welcome you into the kingdom. We encourage you to get yourself in a Bible teaching church. Amen. And then join us again on next week as we continue to allow your voice to be heard. We want to thank each and every one of you, especially the Barnetts that came in and just blew our minds. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. On Facebook, I know y'all viral, y'all going in. I'm coming back over on that. And we want to thank you for supporting, for all your questions. Hope the comments that we gave you was instrumental for your life. And don't forget, amen, you can always come back and just download it and get this every day until you get a breakthrough in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships. And quarterback, I want to thank you so, so much. We got to do this
more
often. Oh, my pleasure. Again.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
I miss. Yes, come on, you got to come back. Amen. And we got to do this together. And before I leave here, you know, Bestie, we love you. We miss you so much, Ready Angel Kim. I am so looking forward to you being back on next week. I think we did a good job with Tanya. What do you think?
I think we held it down. We did. We held it down.
God bless you. If all that was said, all the stuff that we need to say, if you just become our friends, our fans on Facebook, which is the Voice of Hope Radio, you will get it. And don't forget, download it. Share this with somebody that definitely needs it. We love you.
Yes.
Have a phenomenal Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your week. And stay tuned for more right here on Voices of Hope Radio next week as we go higher. God bless you.
God bless.